All right, if you can take your Bibles and turn to the book of Jude tonight. And tonight we're going to look at verse number 4, which tells us why we need to be earnestly contending for the faith. But before we get into that too far, I want us to think about an Old Testament example. And as we think about this Old Testament example, I think it can kind of give us a picture of maybe the present day and, you know, how many people are actually earnestly contending for the faith. How many have that sense that they have been entrusted with a body of truth and they're going to do something about it? How many think about the fact that, you know, the name of God and His work is at stake, and I need to be earnestly contending for the faith. You know, the example I'd like us to think about is in 1 Samuel 17, the example of David. You know, David comes to the battlefield, and here's the giant Goliath that is out there. And everybody was what? It says in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were what? Were sore afraid. You know, the people of Israel weren't earnestly contending, were they? They were kind of sitting on the sidelines. They were worried about themselves. They were thinking about their life, but they were not concerned about the name of God. But David was one who was concerned with the testimony and the name of God. You know, and he told his eldest brother, is there not a cause? Here was a man that was out there that was defying the name of God, and nobody was willing to stand up and contend with him. Now, David understood that he must do it in whose strength? In God's strength. He realized he was coming to him in the power of God, not in his own strength. But yet, David had to be willing to step out in faith and contend with the enemy. Now, here in Jude, we see some reasons why we need to contend for the faith. Now, what's different about this story is that the enemy is not as obvious as it was to David. All right, here it says in verse number 4, it says, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we are in a battle, but the warriors of the enemy that we are facing can be very deceptive about their identity. If you do not earnestly contend, you are opening yourself up to seductive influences that will secretly prey upon you. You know, why is it so important that we are earnestly contending? Why did he want them to earnestly contend for the faith? Because people were secretly moving into their midst and were having an influence upon those people. And their influence was a corrupting influence and was a serious influence, as we see at the end of the verse. It says, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. There were serious things at risk. Who the Lord Jesus Christ was and His sovereign rule, His rule over us in our lives, His authority in our lives was at stake, in their lives was at stake. You know, it's important that we earnestly contend for the faith. You know, hopefully somebody won't just be able to, you know, secretly move into this church, and then all of a sudden this church come down. But if this church, if the people of this church stop earnestly contending for the faith, that can very easily happen. And you know, you may be sitting by thinking, oh, our church is going to keep going forward. It's not going to, sit by the wayside. But if in your life you're not earnestly contending for the faith, you can open yourself up to these influences. And then what can happen? You open yourself up to the influence. You're influenced by this wrong type of thinking. And then you're a part of this church, aren't you? So now what have you done? You can be the tool by which the devil uses that influence, that false thinking, to be propagated in this church. You know, it's so important that we earnestly contend for the faith, because if we don't, there are serious consequences that can take place. This is something that takes, that, you know, the devil, you know, can transform his ministers as angels of light. And if you aren't proactively, you know, if you aren't earnestly, if you aren't agonizing for the faith, if you aren't expending energy, if you aren't throwing yourself into the battle for truth, you can very easily succumb to the enemy. You know, I like us just to stop and think, each one of us, you know, what am I doing to earnestly contend for the faith? You know, what have I done in the last week to earnestly contend for the faith? You know, do my devotions show that I'm earnestly contending for the faith? You know, is there maybe, does my soul winning look like I'm earnestly contending for the faith? Does my lifestyle look like I'm earnestly contending for the faith? You know, do I take time to study maybe certain doctrines of Scripture to make sure that I'm grounded in the truth so that I can earnestly contend for the faith? You know, young person, maybe you're 8 years old and you're sitting out here. You know, are you earnestly contending for the faith when you attend Sunday school on Sunday morning? How well do you listen? You know, teenager, when you're sitting in that Sunday school class, how well do you listen? Do you realize that we are in a battle? And if we sit idly by, that is when we are opening ourselves up to the secret and seductive forces of the enemy that is looking for people who are at ease so that he can prey upon them. You know, in the book of Judges, and Pastor King preached a message on this passage, but in Judges chapter 18 and verse 7, you know, the people of Dan were looking for a place that they could conquer. And they went up to the northern part of Israel. They found a city where the people were dwelling carelessly. They felt like they were, you know, secure. And they recognized them as what? As an easy target. And you know, the devil sees people are sitting at ease, not earnestly contending, and recognizes that they are an easy target. You know, tonight, are you earnestly contending, or are you an easy target of the devil? You know, when was David an easy target? Remember 1 Samuel chapter 11, when kings go forth to battle? But instead, David was at ease, wasn't he? And he opened himself up to the attack of the devil. We must be earnestly contending for the faith. It says that there are certain men crept in unawares. But then he talks about the obvious judgment that is going to take place on the enemy. It says, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. All right, now this ordained to this condemnation is not presenting some Calvinistic idea that the only thing that could take place in these people's lives, because it's been assured from eternity past, is their judgment and they never had any opportunity to accept the gospel. It's not that. It's the idea of ordained here is that it's been written before. Right, their judgment, their condemnation has been written before. And people that live this type of lifestyle, that exert this type of influence, their sin will be judged. And Jude goes into illustrations of that judgment that is going to take place. This same word for ordained is in Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4, where it says there, it says, for what is used twice, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, all right, this is the word for that's translated ordained in Jude, were written for our learning, were written, there it's used again, for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. All right, so as we look at these people and the condemnation that's going to take place, all right, this condemnation is something that's assured by God's word. This type of behavior is going to bring about God's judgment. And Jude goes into some of the illustrations of judgment in some of the following verses. So there is going to be an obvious judgment that takes place on the enemy. But then Jude makes his readers aware of the character of the enemy. It says he refers to them as ungodly men. So here their inward character is revealed. All right, these are ungodly. These are irreverent. These are people who do not have a sense of the holiness of God. They are people who will live life apart from a sense of the real of the fear of God in their lives. They're ungodly. And it comes out in their actions. So we see this inward character. They are ungodly people at heart. But then we see there's an outward message. All right, there's an inward character and it's displayed in the outward message. And it says, ungodly men, what are they doing? They're turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. All right, so we have the grace of God. You know, what is the grace of God? Well, God gives us that which we don't deserve. You know, think of the forgiveness of sin that we have in God. But when somebody truly experiences God's grace, what do they see? They see their sin the way God sees it. It's not the idea of, so God's grace is there, so I can just go out and sin all I want because God's grace is so great. Well, obviously, that person has an adulterated view of the grace of God. And they're turning God's grace, which teaches us, you know, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And instead of the biblical view of God's grace that would lead us away from sin, these people's view of grace leads them into sin and leads them into an unholy life. D. Edmund Hebert, in his commentary, stated, emboldened by their perverse conception of grace, they did not attempt to conceal their sins, but arrogantly flaunted them, shocking public decency. I thought that was an interesting statement. Emboldened by their perverse conception of grace, they did not attempt to conceal their sins, but arrogantly flaunted them. And Jude obviously saw what these people were doing. Now remember, how did they come in? They came in secretly, didn't they? So they come in secretly, and then they begin to change people's opinions. They begin to show their true colors. So it's important that we are earnestly, constantly, that we are earnestly contending for the faith. So we see this outward message of grace, that it's, you know, the grace of God, you know, frees us to live the way we want. No, the grace of God frees us to not be chained to sin. But these people wanted, you know, to give a false message of the grace of God, that you can live the way that you want. And so we need to be very aware of this false perception, this false understanding of the grace of God. You know, because we see it all around us today. And you look at the average Christian church out there, the mega church, all these different things that are out there, and we see them, but what's it saying? It's you can kind of live the way you want, worship God the way you want, and everything's going to be fine. But really, it's promoting a false message, and we see the seriousness of this false message as we look at the actual denial of the enemy. When they say the grace of God leads to, you know, when they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, that you can live the way you want, you can commit, you know, these moral perversions and things are okay, what are they actually saying? Well, notice the end of the verse. What are they doing? It says, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So ultimately, when they say you can live the way you want, you know, the grace of God can allow you to live this life of sin. And they may not be, you know, that forthright about it and say, oh, yeah, you can just live in sin. Obviously, somebody comes into your church and says, hey, you can just live in sin. You know, they're probably not going to obviously be that open about it. They're going to make it look that like sin isn't sin. That sin's okay. And they're going to make you think that, you know, that's really not that bad. And it's in our, you go later on in the chapter, and ungodly is, you know, sensual are things that describe these people. But what are they doing? They are denying the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ and His control over our lives. They're saying you can live life your way. You know, and the word there translated Lord is the word like for despot. Okay, the one that has rule over us. Maybe a term that would even be used maybe of like a master and a slave. All right, so denying the only Lord God, the one that has supreme control over our lives. And it really speaks of one who is saved and the relationship that we should have with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the what? The ruler over us. And then the second term for Lord is the one maybe that we're more, that we, you know, see more often is the word for Kyrios. Lord and, you know, you could think of it as master. And so really they are denying the lordship of Christ because they're saying you can live life the way you want. You know, that's a serious thing. They're denying the very one who is our Lord and Savior. You know, another interesting thing about this construction is that it really shows the Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ really connects, that and there really connects Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ as one person. And it's a great verse on the deity of Christ. It's what's interesting is that this same construction is in the book of Titus, and it's in a similar context. So if we go to Titus chapter 2 in verse number 13, it says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, so the great God and our Savior are the same person. Who is that? Jesus Christ. All right, and what is it all in the context in again? Verses 11 and 12, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the in this present world. You know, we are looking for who? The great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Are we living like it? Or have you begun to buy into the idea, you know, I can live life my way? Well, if you have, you are denying the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in Jude chapter 1 and verse 4, we have a statement on the deity of Christ. You know, tonight, how many people, if I ask the question, how many of you are denying the Lord? Well, hopefully, none of us would want to raise our hands. But you know what? If you're living life your way, anytime you live life your way, in a sense, you are what? You are denying the Lord. Because you are denying His right to rule over you as the God of heaven. And you know, this false message that you can kind of live like you want to live. This message that promotes fleshliness is a message ultimately that is denying the rightful, denying who the Lord Jesus Christ is and who He should be in our lives. So we have the actual denial of the enemy. In action, their lives were denying the rule and lordship of Jesus Christ. They were running their own lives, and they were demonstrating it by their lifestyle. You know, tonight, what does your lifestyle demonstrate? Have you, first of all, made the Lord Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? And if you have, boy, how careful we need to be that we are earnestly contending for the faith. Because if not, we are going to open ourselves up to the attack of the enemy. You know, how many, all of us, you know, probably, maybe you haven't heard, but, you know, you hear of churches who get a new pastor. You know, what happens within a year or two sometimes? Those churches go downhill. Why is it? People aren't earnestly contending for the faith. You know, and the devil can use a pastor. The devil could use a deacon. The devil could use somebody sitting in the pew to bring this type of false teaching into a church and promote. You know, what happens when you see these churches going downhill? What's promoted? Is it holy living? Yeah, maybe grace. It ultimately results in unholy living. People living, you know, the wild music comes in, the dress standards get lowered. People probably, you know, Sunday night church drops off of their, you know, schedule. And before that, probably Wednesday night church dropped off. Why? So people can live their lives the way they want to live them. They can spend their time doing their things. But they've forgotten that what? The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord. He is our master. He is the one that runs our lives. And you know, tonight, we need to get back. We need to step back and realize, you know what? He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the God of heaven. And if you're saved, He is the one that owns your life and has every right to tell you how to live your life. You know, the fact is His way of living is the best way of living and is the way that will bring the greatest blessing to our lives. You know, tonight, may we be emboldened to earnestly contend for that faith in our families, in the way we read the Scriptures, in the way we witness, in the way we stand for truth, so that we will not be one that are be opening ourselves to the secret attack of the enemy. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, we just pray that You would give us wisdom, Lord, in discerning the times, the day and age in which we live. Lord, this isn't something new. This is something that happened almost 2,000 years ago. And Lord, each one of us, I look at my own life, and Lord, how many times I fail to earnestly contend. And Lord, it's only going to hurt those around us. And Lord, I pray that each member of this church would understand and take seriously, Lord, their duty to contend for the faith. Lord, the devil wants us to contend, to live our lives the way we want to live them. But Lord, may we contend for the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ and His rightful rule over our lives. And Lord, I pray that even tonight You might speak to our hearts. And Lord, that we would take time to do something. Lord, whether it's spending more time in Your Word. Lord, whether it's taking a doctrine that maybe we had some questions about and really seeking to understand it from a biblical perspective. Lord, maybe it's stepping back and seeing something in our life that we see, you know what? 3 years ago, I was stronger in that area. What's happened? Lord, that we would honestly see, are we contending for the faith tonight? Or have we been influenced by this false doctrine? Lord, would You help us to go forward? And Lord, even as we pray tonight, may we realize, Lord, that in our prayers, Lord, we can be contending for the faith as we seek to see Your will advanced in people's lives. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.